the Gaonim and the Reish Galusa. And I was thinking about it afterwards and felt like that was a mistake. Really, we should have seen some tshuvos of the Gaonim, just overall, without pinpointing any particular one, to give some insight into how they were interacting with the communities, what kinds of questions they were answering, and how they answered those questions. So I selected four of them, which I find to be representative of certain things within this period of the Gaonim and their interactions. Two of them representing style, and then two representing issues that were very much on the plate of the Gaonim. So the first two are just style things. The first one is one that I think I actually mentioned last time, and I bring it to show you a Gaon who is addressing a basic halachic question, but he's also an arbiter for a communal issue that you could easily see was becoming a fight. And this was, I think I mentioned it, the issue of sitting on cushions on Yom Kippur. So take a look. This is number one. It's a short tshuva. Many of the tshuvas of the Gaonim are extremely short. If you're familiar with Achronim and their tshuvas, very often they become a whole long discussion of the ins and outs of the Gemara and the Sugya and the Rishonim. And that's not. First of all, the Gaonim are before the Rishonim. You know, keep that in mind. They're not going to quote Rashi for you. They're not going to say, well, the Rambam said this. What did the Rambam really mean? Because who's the Rambam? But
the whole body of Torah Shabbat that hasn't been developed yet.
Yeah, or hasn't been written down at any rate. So you will find some that are a little bit longer, but very often the style is exactly what you see here. I don't know how much of that also has to do with preservation, and maybe a longer letter wouldn't have been preserved as well, or something along those lines, but a lot of what we have is very short. So he says, number one, V'hachi Amar Rav Matisya Gaon. This is Rav Matisya Gaon. I wrote on the sheet, 9th century Pumbedisa. Don't know a whole lot about him beyond that, although he's quoted as saying that Halach Ma'anya, which we say at the Seder, used to be that they would actually keep the door open and mean for the Aniyim to come in. Not Beis HaMikdash, because you have to be part of the Korban Pesach, but post Beis HaMikdash, you would actually invite in all of the needy people. And he says, by his day, it's not so. And so now we give out Ma'os Chitim in advance. So people quote him as a source for the practice of Ma'os Chitim. So,
Ma'os Chitim was given at the Seder.
No. You would give it in advance in order to make sure that people wouldn't need to come to you when you said Ma'anya, because by the time you got to Tisya Gaon's time, it's not safe to just leave your door wide open Pesach night. Call it Lil Shimurim, however much you like. We're not leaving our door open. So that's what he says. So V'hachi Amar Rav Matisya Gaon, V'shesha Altem, you ask the following question. Noagin Leishev Akarim V'kisaos U'matzaos Noos V'zakneses B'yom HaKippurim. They customarily sit on pillows, chairs, nice mats in shul on Yom Kippur. He says, Isser Ein Bova Ein Aveir. He says, there's nothing wrong with doing that. There's nothing wrong with doing, even though we say it's a day of inui and suffering and so on, we don't add to the sufferings that you have, and therefore there's no mitzvah of sitting on the floor on Yom Kippur. Mihu bat, im rov hatzibur yoshvin aleihen mutav. If most of the community has chairs, cushions like that, then sure, then good. Ve'im dalad ve'he anashim yoshvim. But if only four or five are sitting on these cushions, ve'akol agabe karka, and everybody else is sitting on the ground, ein derech eretz bekach lahaf legarba v'chamisha b'nei yodah mikol atzibur. That's not right. You've got four or five people sitting up on their nice cushions, and everybody else is sitting on the floor. Then he says that it's an inappropriate practice. So we don't have the original question that was sent to him. We just have his answer. But my assumption from the fact that he writes this, right, and doesn't just stop at it's fine to sit on cushions, is that the question that was asked was not only are you allowed to sit on cushions, but can you have some people sitting on cushions and not
and
not the rest?
Writes this style, Hachi Omar Rav, he's in the third
so
person.
Not necessarily. We find in that period that very often they had somebody who was a secretary essentially and wrote the letter and sent it out. So it's possible that he's not writing it that way because it's a style you find, and we're going to see it in the second one right here. It's a style you find in many tshuvos. As a matter of fact, it's also in the third one, but I took it out in the third one. I think I took it out for space reasons, just because it was running long and I didn't want to have it in there. But I believe it was in Rav Natronoi in number three also. Okay. So that's your first one. It just shows him addressing a communal issue as opposed to just a personal halachic question. The second one I love because he takes a rabbi to task. A rabbi gave a psak. Somebody wrote to him asking a question about it, and he says, "How in the world can you be so ignorant?" That was it. Not the person asking it, but the rabbi who gave the psak. This is Rav Tzemach Gaon. Rav Tzemach Gaon is probably best known for his role in the debate about the status of Ethiopian Jews. Rav Tzemach Gaon was asked the question, there's a fellow by the name of Eldad Hadani. He claimed to be from Shevet Dan, one of the 10 lost tribes, and have this whole story. He had this whole story about their practices and how they ended up in Africa, and this whole thing. They were going to fight a war against Yeravam ben Nevat at the time of the split of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and then Hashem arranged it that there should be no war, but instead they should end up going to Africa. These mighty warriors from Shevet Dan, and Eldad says, "I am from Shevet Dan." So he comes around in the 9th century. And Rav Tzemach Gaon is asked, is this legit? And he said, yes. Rav Tzemach Gaon said, these are legitimate Jews. And that's like the first major find that we have of somebody certifying Ethiopian Jews as Jews, was Rav Tzemach Gaon. But that's not what we're talking about here. That you don't find in a tshuva of his. In the version we have today of Sefer Eldad Hadani, which is available, I think, if I remember correctly, on HebrewBooks.org. They actually record his letter of approbation for the Ethiopians. So, V'hachi Amar Rav Tzemach Gaon. Oh, sorry, to explain the topic he's talking about. The issue is, we know that there is an isser of violating Tchum Shabbos, right? You're not allowed to travel more than roughly a kilometer outside of the settled community on Shabbos. That we are aware of. So, the question is, does that apply in Yom Tov? That's the question that he's being asked. V'yachli amar of Tzemach Gaon. V'shesha altam, you asked. Man dekoy ba'orcha umata yomatava. Guys on the road, Yom Tov is arriving. V'koy me'rachok min beisei orcha depaga yoma o laila. And the guy is a half a day's travel away, or half a night's travel away from home. Far beyond Tchum is the point. Right? You could walk Tchum Shabbos in 15 minutes. Easy. So Shari o Asir, is he allowed to keep traveling or not? So here's his answer. Tuva tamanu min hadam milsa. We are really surprised that someone is asking this question. Rabbanan bali Torah v'chachma tau b'chi hadam milsa. Would rabbis, people of Torah, people of Chachma, make a mistake in such a thing? Burim v'tipshim sheba ame ha'aretz da'acha lo tov b'hadam milsa. Even completely ignorant people, total fools in our land, would not make a mistake about this. He says, everybody knows that. He says, lo shmiel lechon deleka trei tchum echad l'shabbos v'chad l'yom tov. He quotes a basic Gemara. The Gemara talks about the following question. Let's say today is Shabbos and tomorrow is Yom Tov. Is a person allowed to set up one Erev Tchumen to extend his Tchum on one side of the town for Shabbos and a separate one, set it up on Friday, set up a separate one on the other side of town and say, that's going to be my Tchum for Yom Tov? That's a Gemara. The Gemara asks that question. So he says, from the very fact that the Gemara asks that question, that tells you there's such a thing as Tchum for Yom Tov. Otherwise, why is he asking the question? Tchum into Shabbos with the Yom Tov Chadhu. The rules of Tchum on Shabbos and Yom Tov are the same. The Tanu Rabbanan, as the Brisa says, Shivu Ish Tachtav, in Parshas Bishalach, when they get the mun, they're told, stay in your place, Elu Arba Amos. That's the rule that you're not allowed to carry 4 Amos on Shabbos. Al Yetze Ish Mimakomo, Elu Alpayim Amo. You say you're not supposed to leave your space, that's the 2,000 Amo limit. That's there's a lot of debate as to whether Tchum is actually De'oraisa or whether this is just an asmachta, we're kind of linking it to the pasuk. He's taking it as that's your source.
He's holding
De'oraisa? He's, at least the way he's answering the question, he is. Unless he's just saying, well, this brisa links it there, and you know from the brisa that we have this, and then the next line, V'yom Tov Kishabbos, and he says the rules of Yom Tov will be the same as Shabbos. Disnan ein ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos ala ochel nefesh b'lvad. The only difference in Yom Tov and Shabbos is ochel nefesh is preparing food, which isn't entirely true, but good enough for our purposes. Elamiu b'Shabbos ksiv. Now he does have to answer one problem. Because the truth of the matter is, it's reasonable to think maybe they're different. Because the laws of Hotzah on Yom Tov are different. I'm allowed to transport without an Erev on Yom Tov for the sake of Yom Tov. So he has to explain, you just told me that the two rules are linked in this Pasuk, right? Not to carry and not to travel outside the Tchum. I'm not so sure that it's so glatt to assume that, well, one applies and one doesn't apply.
Yeah, but Gemara ultimately...
Yes, yes. But now he has to explain why it is. So he says, Elamiu b'Shabbos k'siv lo sotziu masami bateichem. For Shabbos, I have a separate pasuk, Yeshaya, that says, don't take a burden out of your houses on Shabbos. V'chayev p'skila, and there's a death penalty for violating that. On Yom Tov we say, wherever you are allowed to travel, you are also allowed to carry. He says, but for Tchum, they're the same. He says, you should fear heaven and do not rule like that rabbi who made that mistake over there. You shouldn't follow that that psak. I don't know who that rabbi is, but boy, does he not know what he's doing. So says the Tzemach Gaon, the Gaon of Sura in the 9th century. So that I just brought you, again, just show you, expecting a level of knowledge among the rabbis and being shocked when it's not there. In case you thought that the use of strong language was unique to Rav Tzemach Gaon, we are now going to disabuse you of that notion. Rav Natronoi Gaon is one of the greatest of the Gaonim, very prolific. We have a lot of tshuvos, a lot of responsa from Rav Natronoi. He is, as you see, a Gaon in Sura, also in the 9th century. 9th century was a big place. I think he's before Rav Tzemach Gaon, if I remember correctly. And he is dealing with an issue of the Haggadah. The text that we have, right? Today, you can get 1,000 different Haggadahs, and they have the same text for Magid. However, in his day, that's not true. There are people who are using one text for Magid, there are people who are using a different text for Magid. And he's particularly upset about people who are saying some of the psukim for Magid and skipping the Midrashim. You know that our Magid, the core of our Magid, is Medrash on the Pasuk of Aramiyo Veda Viva Erd Mitzrayim, the whole thing that the farmer says when he brings the Bikurim. So he had people who were not doing that. Remember last time we talked about the Karaites? So he says, oh no, those are Karaites who are doing that. That's not some legitimate alternative practice. And wow, does he go to town on them. Take a look at number 3. Misha Omer B'Kiddush Shel Pesach Asher Kiddush Es Yisrael. Someone who says Kiddush on Pesach and says the Nusach of Kiddush that he had. I don't know, that's yeah, funny. I wrote in my translation who redeemed Israel. But it's not. It's who sanctified Israel. I'm not sure why I wrote that. I sure go Alice. And Uksha Gomer. That was the Lashon that he had. No, we do not. Uksha Gomer Manishtana. They finished saying Manishtana. Ein Omer Avadim Ayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. They don't say Avadim Ayinu. Ein Omer Mitchilo Ovdei Avodah Zara. And they don't say that Medrash of in the beginning our ancestors were Ovdei Avodah Zara. Ela Omer Vayomer Yoshua Kol Ha'am. Ad v'Yakov u'banav yardu Mitzrayim. They say the psukim from the end of Yoshua, from his speech to the Jews. Right, be'evra anar Yoshua seich me'olam terach aviyavram aviyinochor. All that. They say the psukim about how we were ovdei avodah zarah and went down to Egypt. Va'omer mi baruch shomer haftachaso. They say baruch shomer haftachaso li Yisrael and all of that. Ad seyu lamad. V'kore, and then they say the psukim of arami oved avi. Ad shegomer as a parsha kula. The opening psukim there. Psukim kmo shehein. This is the key. They say the psukim from Kisavo as they are, the ein omer medrash klal, and they don't say the medrash on it at all, and then they jump, and they say Rabban Gamliel, Asher Ge'alanu, and Halel. Right? And then they eat. He says, Tema gadol bedavar hazeh. This is immensely shocking. Misha noeg minag zeh, ein tzarech lomer shelo yatzah. Someone who does that, of course he isn't yotzei. He says, if you do that, that is heresy. The chiluk leiv hu. It is somebody of a split heart, dual loyalties. The kofer bedivrei chachamim uboze divrei mishnah v'talmud. He is denying the words of the sages. He is degrading the mishnah and the gemara. The chayavin kol hakehilos lenadoso. And in all the communities, they should put him in cherem. They should excommunicate him. Ulahavdilo mikahal yisrael. Separate him out from the Jewish people. like the decree in Ezra regarding people who were not keeping to the Torah. That's what we should do to the guy who does his Seder this way. Why? What is this about? He says, isn't Avadim Ayinu, which the Chachamim said to say, isn't that from the Torah that you're supposed to say that? Yes. The Pasuk says, tell your kids you were slaves in Egypt. And Yoshua told the nation, Lo mitchila avdei avodah zarah hu. Is that not? Right? In the beginning we were idolaters. That's what Yoshua says.
The whole
magid
is a
Rabbanan.
It's a Chazal.
Right.
The Chazal
said
that Rabbanan is Rabbanan.
Well, no. It's a Delraisa v'igadat alevincha.
The Seder.
Right, what you say, correct.
They're following the center of Chazal.
So look what he says. He says, Shekach Shaninu, because this is what Chazal told us in the Mishnah in Pesachim, Mascha B'Gnus U'Mishayim B'Shevach. Right, that's what you're supposed to do. V'Amarnu, my Gnus, we have a whole debate in the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar, now they add in three words, because otherwise the line doesn't make any sense. Rav Amar Mitchila, right, Mitchila Obdei Avodah Zarah, you start with Avodah Zarah, as it, U'Shmuel Amar Avadim Ayinu. The ilule tina sheyesh bilvavam. He says, if not for the filth that was in their hearts, the chiluk libam and their disloyalty, they enrotzim lomar divrei mishnah v'talmud. They don't want to say the words of mishnah and gemara. My ichbas lehem lomar mitchila. Why else would they say we don't want to say mitchila? Ella halalo minin umaligin ubozin divrei chachamim. They are heretics. They are scorners. They are degrading the words of the chazal. V'talmidei anan. Yerkav Shmo, and the students of Anan, who he said was the founder of Karaism, may his name rot, Avi Aviv Shel Daniel, he is the grandfather of Daniel, who apparently was a known Karaite as well. I was going to look it up, and then I forgot to see what his deal was. Sha'amar L'chalatam V'azonim Achrav, he was the one who told all of those who strayed after him, Izvu Divrei Mishnah V'Talmud V'Anies Elachem Talmud Mishali. He was the one who said, abandon Mishnah and Gemara, I'll make my own Gemara for you. They stand in their error. They've become their own population. He created a gemara of wickedness. And our great master, Elazar from Spain, Rav Netrinoi, was involved with the early Jewish community in Spain. So there's a lot of communication between him and them. He saw Sefer Toevos Shelo, Shekaranosu Sefer Mitzvos. He saw that Sefer of abhorrences, of revolting things that they created, that they call a Sefer HaMitzvos. He actually saw it. Kama Tachbulos Yeshbo, and how it has all these clever things in it where he tries to mislead people. V'achshav Shetzvicham Lihi Nados. And now they have to put in Cherem. Anybody who says this as their Magid is in Cherem.
What was the Shema?
What do you mean?
I mean, he gives this whole...
The Shiloh was, can you say?
Can you conduct like this?
Correct. Okay. I mean, I'm assuming, because the truth is...
He's asking that
right.
to the goal, if it's not a Karaite.
Right. So the answer is two options. Right. One option is that someone is sending a letter to the Gaon saying to him, I've seen this practice, I have relatives who do this, you know, what's the story? Right. The other possibility is that he saw this going on and he said, I'm writing this. I believe I brought you from the beginning of the tshuva except for, you know, V'hachi Omar Rav Natrinoi. It could be that there was no question and he was just writing this. Third possibility, I seem to remember seeing this many years ago and I'm not 100% sure, but somebody arguing that this was actually a minhag in Eretz Yisrael. That there were actually those who were doing it. We're not doing it for karaitic purposes, but they thought this is an okay thing to do. Right. You know, it's a shorter Haggadah, people are tired, the kids are tired. You know, I seem to remember, I have to look it up in my notes, I seem to remember an article claiming that this was not necessarily only done by Karaites, but right. There could have been Jews who had this practice also.
That's important, because you get the feeling here that he's trying to fight back Karaites
right.
with this language, proactive against them with no particular
right.
style maybe.
Right. So I have to look it up. I'll mention to you, I was going to say it later, but there's no shiur next week because I'm in Toronto for Shabbos. But God willing, the week after we'll be back to normal. Right. No shiur next week, but the 24th we're back to normal.
All right.
Well, so
what happened to these carries?
So, like I said, they're still around.
They're still
around. They exist. Yeah, yeah. Look them up online. But don't look too closely. So he says they should be excommunicated. He says they should not be davening in our shuls. Separate them until they go straight. And they go back to the practice of the two yeshivas, meaning Surah and Pumbedisa. You don't do it our way, you didn't do it at all. That's the bring down the hammer of Natrunoi. Okay. Sorry? I mean, the truth is, it's funny that you say that. He says, Tinok Shenishba doesn't exist, but the truth is that the Rambam brings the Tinok Shenishba argument regarding the later generations of Karaites. Because he said they were taught incorrectly by their ancestors. So Davka they do, but not Rav Natronoi. He's not even going there. He's crushing this. Okay, the last one that I bring you is from Rav Haigon, who is significantly later, right, end of the 10th century, beginning of the 11th century, considered the last of the definitive Gaonim, even though there were those who claimed to be Gaon for a little while after him. And I brought this one to show you that Gaonim were not only asked questions of halacha, they were also asked questions of agadata. It wasn't just, we send them halacha questions. And the question that he was asked was, about a book called the Book of Adam HaRishon. There are various midrashim which refer to the Book of Adam HaRishon, and Rav Shri Agon, Rav Hai's father, actually mentions it in Igeres Rav Shri Agon. It seems to be a book of lineage, basically. But you only see it referred to. It's not like it's a book on somebody's shelf. It's just, the Medrash says, like there's a Medrash that talks about Hashem showing Moshe Rabbeinu when Hashem tells him to pick Bezalel. Right, as the one who's going to make the Mishkan, Hashem tells Moshe to pick Bezalel, right, for the Mishkan. So he says, Re'u, kara Hashem b'shem, Bezalel ben Uri ben Choyu, etc. The Re'u, Hashem says, see, I've called the name of Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor, and so on. Or it's Moshe who says, the people see Hashem has called. I don't remember now. I think it's, Re'e Karasi B'Shem, sorry. See, I have called in the name of Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. So the Medrash, you know, whenever Hashem says something like, Zeh, this, it means Hashem points to something. Hashem says, Re'e, see. So the Medrash says that Hashem said, look at this book where I've given you all the generations. And this is the book of Adam HaRishon. And there you see Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, and he's supposed to be the one to make the Mishkan. That's what the Medrash says. So somebody sends a letter to Rav Haigon saying, can I go to Eichler's and get Sefer Adam HaRishon? Shuvas she'ela l'Rabbeinu Haigon. The answer to a question that was asked to Rav Haigon. Visha'altem, and you asked, Sefer Adam HaRishon matsui hu olo. Is this book of Adam HaRishon around anywhere? I'd like to read it. Lo chazi lana velo shchiach lana. He says, we've never seen it. It is not around. Velo davar shanuhi. It's not a book people learn. Ella Mahavia Milsa Bay Perush Daros Vachamehen. But what it was an explanation of all the generations and their leaders. Kiddishmul Yarchinoi, like there's another book he's familiar with by Shmuel Yarchinoi, which I'm not familiar with. Umafarish Bay, Rebbe Rabbi Nasan Sof Mishnah, Ravina Ravashi Sof Hora. It explains that Rebbe and Rabbi Nasan are the end of the Mishnah, Ravina and Ravashi were the conclusion of the Gemara, like we talked about. Uba Agada de Vayikra de Rabbi Tanchuma Beisha Ki Sazria, and like the Agadata found in Medrash Tanchuma on Parshas Tazria, which says, Ein Melech Mashiach Ba'ad Shivru Kol Neshamos Sha'alu B'machshava Lehibaraos, that Mashiach won't come until all of the Neshamos have come into this world, which is an idea that we also find in a Gemara. I think it's in Erevin. The Elohein Amurim B'Sefer Adam HaRishon Zeh Sefer told us Adam. So that's what you would find in Adam HaRishon's book. He knew all of this. This is all in there. But good luck trying to find it. He says, that's not a book that we ever find. No one's ever learned it. It's just quoted in various places. So this is just a little bit of background in terms of some of the chuvos of the Gaonim. I thought it would add a little bit of our understanding of who they are and their interactions with the community. And God willing, not next week, but the following week, we'll go back to Rav Achai. Shkayach.